And we're set. Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Hello.
Good morning. All right. Just going to verify that we're, in fact, on here with our Zoom call. Looks like Lee Vary, I see you there. And I don't plan on sharing any stories about you again, but I'm glad you're here. I don't know, maybe I can come up with something real quick. Okay.
Okay.
I got to mute my own audio here or I'm going to start infinite feedback happening. But we look like we're set and good. And everybody hear us okay. Hi, Matt Simpson. Hi, Chad Schneider. Michael Cameron's here. Tim Constant. Looks like the Constants are all here. I see the Lowe's there. Sam and Hillary. It's good to see you guys.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
A bunch of people. Mike Dwyer, Ryan.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mark Schreiber, joining us. It's pretty great. Man, it is good to see our people, isn't it? I wish we could actually see each other face to face. So this morning, just to give you guys just a little bit of what to expect, you're seeing something a little bit different. Normally, you just see one of our heads on the screen, but now today, you get to see all four of us. It's pretty great. So, you know, after about a month of doing this, I just got a hint from my wife. That's great. Get post-it notes. So welcome to my living room and Perry's living room and John's living room and Aaron's living room. Aaron pulled out his good webcam for this meeting. So after about a month of this, where we've been sheltering in place, everybody, we wanted this week just to kind of take a one-off. So we've been in the life of Jesus, and we came up to Easter, and we did Good Friday and Easter, and that was really cool. And we talked about the resurrection, and we talked about hope. And I love where we ended up there, and we had really good discussion in my house church, and I'm hoping the other house churches had good discussion as well. Mm-hmm. And then we lived life this week. Next week, we're going to start a new series, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But today, we just wanted to talk a little bit about where we're at, get all four of us on the screen. So we're talking about our virus situation, interacting with each other. And we want to just kind of reaffirm our faith in God a little bit, because I think God has good intentions in mind for this. So each one of us is going to share a little bit. So, but you know, since we've all discovered at this point, after about doing this for about a month, that, you know, Zoom meetings are really, really fun. We let you guys just join into our Zoom meeting this morning. So it's going to be a little bit different than normal. I'm going to actually have Facebook and YouTube up here, and we might get a little bit more interactive in a little bit. So maybe some of you be prepared to share something if you feel a little bit excited or stimulated there. So first of all, though, I just wanted to get real serious, because all of this Zoom stuff, I think it's just provoked a little bit of creativity in us. You know, so for instance, I did a meeting like this. I don't know if anybody's familiar with this kind of thing. And then you can do interesting things like pin your video so you're the only one on the screen. And then you can like look at yourself and make sure your hair's doing okay. And man, Stanley's over here just like working away. And it's actually on a little bit of a video loop there. You know, and sometimes, I mean, you can kind of lighten up the mood a little bit with these calls. Like, they're not like being in person, so you got to kind of do some weird things, like maybe this.
Oh my goodness. Oh my.
Confusing. I don't really know. I'm going to unpin my video now.
You need some social distancing there.
Anyway,
Travis.
Technology is fun. You guys, I don't know. I've seen some interesting views on you guys' side too. Aaron, Perry, John, you guys got anything interesting you've been doing on Zoom lately? Oh,
sure.
John.
Yeah, we got the Christmas program here.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I've also got all of Travis's Hardy Boy books here. I found them. I put them in order. I got all the blue ones here.
Hold on a minute. I just did the technology snafu and muted my mic, and I can't actually hear what John is saying or anybody else. Okay.
I got your Hardy Boy books. They're right here in case you're looking for them.
Oh, good. There's my Hardy Boy books. I was wondering.
John, thank you for all your prayers about my wardrobe. I appreciate it. So that's been really good. Thank you. You guys have been good with your calls. What have you guys been doing?
I personally like to have life's defining moments, my screen. My co-pastors don't embrace this as much as I do. Yeah. They're not huge sports fans, so you can pray for them.
Is that football?
Of moments like this, but
is I that just football like behind you?
What's that?
That's football. Oh, yes, it's football.
That is football.
I had to see the actual football.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's Super Bowl 50. That was an amazing moment. So, I like to have those kinds of things behind me.
Nice.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. So, just as a reminder, everybody, this is a good thing. You need to learn to unmute yourselves. You know, I mean, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. So, not muting your mic. That's really, it's the new reply all, right? So, but one thing I do know for sure is in the midst of all of this, we've all been wondering who's really behind COVID-19, and I think it's Zoom. It has to be.
Yep.
It has to be. Because I just, who else is profiting from all of this? Right. It's crazy. Anyway, after all that, so Perry, why don't you share a little bit, just kind of maybe start us off with a little bit of prayer, and then talk a little bit about some of the challenges we've been facing.
All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we first want to just thank you that you're still on the throne, and that this whole global pandemic did not catch you off guard. We thank you. We live in a time where we have technology that we can still stay connected, and we're not isolated in every sense of that word. We thank you that your church is still able to function as a body, and that we can all meet together, Lord. Though not physically, Lord, there is such a thing as being together in spirit, and we cherish that, and we just want to fix our eyes on you this morning, and have a fellowship and a camaraderie and just a peace in our hearts, Lord, that you know what you're doing. So bless our morning, God. Fill us with the joy of the Lord, not a joy that comes from circumstances. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So as pastors, we sure do want to just collectively empathize and understand that anytime life throws us curveballs, it affects us, and it's real, and it's hard. And I think for me, you know, just, and for all of us, it's having our routines and our schedule and normalcy disrupted and affected. Is that right? You know, we are creatures of habit, and anything that ruffles that unnerves us, disturbs us. But, you know, as you've probably seen on Facebook and elsewhere, it's not the first time this has happened to America. We went through the Civil War. We went through a Great Depression. Our ancestors went through two world wars. And I think if I count right, there have been at least 9 epidemics that America has gone through. So, you know, we're not alone in that at all either. And the challenges that face us today are real. They're formidable. As you know, people are dying, and that's a big deal. People are dying without the presence of their closest family members and friends, and that's extremely hard. And education and careers have been put on hold. Our economy has been trashed, and I think the latest toll has been about 22 million Americans that are out of work. So, you know, when I think of all that, I feel like my own personal loss is really pale in comparison. You know, sure, we've all had plans. We missed a trip to Iowa to visit Katie's family. Her parents have not gotten a chance to see their great-granddaughter. And so that's been hard. We also have missed a destination wedding that was going to take place in Orlando, where we would also have gotten to see our son and daughter-in-law. So plans, we all make plans, and they've all been pretty much put on hold or done away with. So how about the rest of you guys?
Yeah, for me, similarly, it's not like I have suffered in incredible ways, but there certainly have been disappointments. Two of our kids have had or are having birthdays during this time. My 11-year-old turned 11 in March, and all he wanted to do was go to a Nuggets game. That was his one ask. But of course that was canceled, and he didn't get to go to that. Our little girl is turning 5 next week, and she has been planning her birthday for months and months. The way it works in our family is that there are 6 of us. We have birthdays starting in October, and then about every month we have a birthday, and she's the last one in April. And so she's been watching everybody's birthdays go by. And each time there are tears because it's not her birthday. So she's been planning this one, and she's had her party planned out. But of course, it's going to be very different. We're still going to do something special, but it's going to be different. And so there's just a disappointment there. Again, it's not huge, but there's that feeling of unfairness that is hitting all of us.
Yeah, I had a birthday actually on Saturday, and it was kind of sandwiched between our Good Friday stream and our Easter stream. And in the midst of feeling sort of sorry for myself, because all of our plans that we had for Good Friday and Easter kind of got ruined. We had so many great things that were going to happen in the large gathering. I was just sad. And then I had my birthday, and it was a good birthday at home. Don't get me wrong. I had amazing food and it was good, but I miss my friends, right? I just miss my friends. I would have loved to have people here. I just miss them. And, you know, we had a birthday sort of like long extended camping trip planned for Sarah for this upcoming month. And one of the other families in our world on our small group is going to come with us. And we had reserved the sites and everything. It was at the Great Sand Dunes Park. And of course, we just got a refund from them because they've closed the park. So we're not going to go on that. So it's like, it's just kind of disrupted life, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah. I feel like we're all going through disappointments, big and small. Here's one of my small ones. My favorite cereal from King Soopers. It's gone. Those oat squares. They're delicious. It's the best cereal on the planet. If you haven't had it, you want it.
But look at all that life, John.
Right. Yeah.
Life cereal is amazing.
It looks like life to the full, Travis.
But, except the price tag isn't life to the full.
Right. The price
$5.79.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. But honestly, I've just been burdened for other people around me, people that are experiencing health challenges, loss of job. But we're all feeling it in different ways emotionally. We're all in this together. And so it's hard, but we're with you guys. We're going through this with you in different ways.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned loneliness, Johnny. We have several singles on our small group, and I know that it's been particularly challenging for them. I'm an introvert, so, you know, for about the first week, I kind of liked that sense of isolation, but I really miss my friends and as this goes on. And of course, on the other hand, for those who have been cooped up with others more so than they're used to, relational strain can be another negative consequence to all this. And we can find ourselves less patient and gracious and just more irritable. And I found myself yelling at my dog more, you know, just during this time. And it's important, I think, to understand God is not unaware and he's not uncaring about all this. His grace is available and sufficient. But personally, I think perspective is huge. A faith-based perspective can make all the difference in how we weather this. And so this morning, we really want to take the time we have to refresh ourselves in the active, intentional goodness of God. And Aaron's going to lead us through some of that this morning. So,
yeah, thanks, Barry. So I wanted to have us read just a short passage out of the book of Philippians. And this is a passage that actually really struck me at the very beginning of this whole ordeal. You might remember Wednesday, March 11th. That was the day when everything began to shut down. And so the schools closed, the businesses, of course, closed. The NBA season was postponed.
Oh, man.
During the year that the Nuggets were going to win the championship. Everything just started to come to a halt. We didn't really realize that that was happening. We still squeezed in a small group meeting on that Wednesday night. And we were just beginning to study the book of Philippians, and we were reading through Philippians chapter 1, and these few verses really stood out to me, and they began to shape my perspective for the upcoming weeks. And let's take a look at them. So this is in Philippians 12, 1, Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14. and we're going to read these together. Remember, this is while Paul is in prison. So he's writing the Philippian church from jail. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me being in prison, has really served to advance the gospel. So this has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, let's remember a little bit about who Paul was. Paul was commissioned by God to take the gospel around the world. And he was specially equipped. He was given a special grace, and he was charged by the risen Christ to go. And he was gifted to speak to the multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people. But here he finds himself in prison. And all of that giftedness and all of that message was confined to four walls. And we might think that's probably not the best of plans, to have this man and his message constrained like that. However, during this time, as we just read, Paul was able to see something. He was able to see a purposefulness in his confinement. He was able to see that God was still advancing his purposes. And so, and specifically, he highlights two ways that God was advancing those purposes in his imprisonment. Number one, God gave Paul a limited but very, very influential audience. So his scope was narrowed. He wasn't preaching to the multitudes anymore, but he did have an audience with a small group of people and a very influential one. He had access to really this inner circle of the most powerful man on the planet at the time, Caesar. And he was speaking to them. So it was becoming known throughout the whole imperial guard that he was in chains for Christ. Secondly, others were inspired to speak more confidently. And so those outside of his prison, those believers in the church, were stirred to speak because of his imprisonment. And so he was able to see that God was still advancing. God was doing things here. The question is, can we see that? When we feel constrained, which obviously we do right now, can we still see him advancing? After all, the experience that Paul went through is not an unusual experience. We read about similar experiences all through the Bible. We could go back to the story of Joseph. Of course, Joseph, through a series of dreams, it was indicated to him that he was going to be this very influential man, but he spent over a decade as a slave or a prisoner, and he had to wait during that time. Similarly, Jeremiah spent quite a bit of time in prison, even though he was God's spokesman, he was the prophet of God, and yet God constrained him as well. And when you look at those kinds of situations, without the big picture that we have now, but if you just looked at each of those kinds of situations, you might think, why would God confine and limit people like this? Why would he limit the audience, the reach? Why would he silence these kinds of voices, especially these ones that he specially equipped and had special plans for? This didn't seem like the best use of their lives, their potential. Of course, we can also ask it more personally. We can ask, why would God constrain us? He's obviously constraining all of us right now, collectively, in a pretty dramatic way. But even setting this experience aside, he often constrains us in different ways. And I think oftentimes even intentionally constrains us. And we're left asking why. We say, why, God, would you prevent me from doing what I think must be on your heart? Why would you limit this? Why would you limit me in this way? Why would you put these hindrances before me? I want to do what you must want me to do. Why aren't you letting me do it? We ask those questions. Well, I believe that God has intention when he constrains us. And again, it can be purposeful. He can purposefully constrain us for different reasons. And so let me just give you a couple. There are many reasons, of course, for God's purposes, for the things that he does, but let me give you a couple. Number one, to show that he is not constrained. God is very capable. And sometimes he strips all of our trusted resources, everything that we imagine must be necessary to advance his purposes. He takes it away. And then he says, I can still do this. I can still make things happen, just like he did in Paul's situation in prison, just like he did with Gideon. When he stripped Gideon's army down to a mere 300 men and then told him to go confront this enormous Midianite army, and of course gave him the victory there. But sometimes he strips all those resources to say, I don't need all of that. I'm going to do it myself. But secondly, I think sometimes he constrains us because he has different purposes than we suppose he should. We have an idea in our minds of what God must want to do. And usually it's very public, and usually it uses us in a dramatic way because we think, you know, I'm a pretty extraordinary person with remarkable giftings, and God must want to give me a platform to use that remarkable gifting and radically transform the world. That's what we think. But what if God is thinking, actually, I can transform the world myself. I've got that. I want to do something else. And I want to do something less public, a little more private. And I want to work on your heart here. And I want to create a situation where it's just you and me. And you're not worried about going out there and doing all that you have in mind that you think I might want to do. I want some time with just you. And I'm going to work on your heart. We're going to do this together. I think oftentimes he does that. He puts those limits on us so that he can have time to mold and shape us inwardly. Now, we don't know exactly how he does that or what his specific intentions are, but we can trust that he has specific intentions. You know, one of the verses that I think it can be most familiar to us, it's a very popular verse in the church, is Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. This is the kind of verse that we put on coffee mugs and t-shirts, but sometimes it becomes a little too cliche and familiar, and we forget the power behind it. Let's take a look at this verse, and let's dig into it a little bit. And let's consider that word all. The word all. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now let's dig into the Greek a little bit. That word all is pas in Greek, and it's used quite a bit in the New Testament. But if you dig in and really try to understand the meaning, and I did that in the last few days, tried to understand what does God mean by that word? What he really means by pas is all. He means all. God is working all things together for good. And what goes into that all bucket? Well, everything goes in there. God is working all things together for good, including coronaviruses and quarantines and stay-at-home orders. He's working it all together for good. And not just in this reactive way where he says, I was just sort of surprised by this, but maybe we can eke out some good out of it. We'll try to find some silver lining to this horribly dark rain cloud. No, he's in much more control than that. He is actively shaping and molding, and he has proactive intentions in these kinds of things. He wants to accomplish something. He still is advancing. Now, again, we don't know exactly how he's advancing or what specific good he wants to work oftentimes, but we can trust that he is advancing. He is working in our job. And what we wanted to bring up this morning is just to ask ourselves, what is he doing in my life? What specific good is he working here? Now, We don't know. Like I said, we don't know specifically, but in general, what God is always doing, the good that he wants to bring about, is he always wants to compel in us an obedience to his great commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Around here at Summit View, we just summarize that and we say love like Jesus. He wants to do that. He wants to compel that kind of love, whether it's vertical love for him or horizontal love for others. That's what he wants to do. And so what we wanted to do this morning is have us all ask, how is he compelling that kind of love in us? What does he want to do with each of us specifically? And we don't know. I don't know what that is for you, but I think there are some possibilities. And I wanted to share a handful of those. How does he want to bring about that Christ-like love? Well, perhaps in this time, he is simply compelling repentance. He's stripping away everything so that he can expose something in each one of our hearts. He's saying, let's work on this right now. Okay, you've avoided this for a while. Let's get to the bottom of this. And he's just compelling that kind of repentance so that we're freed up to love him more. Perhaps he is just stilling your heart before him. He's giving us all an opportunity just to sit at his feet and be still. He's saying, would you spend time with me? Would you just be with me? Perhaps he is drawing out gratitude. He is reminding us of everything that we take for granted. And he's stirring a heart of thankfulness in us. Perhaps he's rearranging priorities. We have a unique opportunity here. When everything is stripped away, eventually we get to rebuild and we get to rearrange those priorities. And perhaps he's leading us to take a hard look at what we have been prioritizing and what we haven't. Perhaps he is focusing relational energy. Prior to this, maybe a lot of us were just scattered relationally. Our heart was going in a lot of different places. Well, now he has a very small circle of people that were around for most of us. And perhaps he wants us to invest right there. And he's saying, rather than you being distracted everywhere, I want you to focus your relational energy on your roommate, on your spouse, on your child. That's all you got right now. Or perhaps he is opening an unexpected gospel opportunity just like he did for Paul. And there's something that you never would have expected. You never would have thought it would be possible. But right now he is woven everything together and opened this door for you to bring Christ in a unique setting. You don't know what he's doing, but we want to think about it. We want to get to that place where, like Paul, we can say, God is advancing here. He is compelling love for himself and for others through this time because he intentionally works through these kinds of constraints. So we just want to understand that. So let's think about that even just a little more practically and try to, well, we're going to share some ideas of what he might be doing and what he's done in our own lives. So I'm going to pass that now over to John, and he's going to lead us through that.
Yes, awesome. Thanks, Aaron. That was great. As we turn a corner, some of your family, into the last part of this teaching here this morning, the goal is that you would leave inspired by what God is doing and that you would have a chance to participate in sharing where you see God advancing. And so to kick that off, I'm going to share a quote from a C.S. Lewis book here, and then get ready, because after that, I'm going to ask you to get on your keyboards because I want you to be able to join us in the chat feed here. So I want to share this famous quote from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Maybe you remember this if you've read the book or if you saw the movie, but here is the quote as the Pevensey kids are talking with the beaver. They say Aslan is on the move, perhaps has already landed. And now a curious thing happened. None of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. But the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump in inside. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if something delicious, some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize that it's the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of summer. I love how that quote just captures hearing the news that Aslan was moving changed their hearts. And that's what we're hoping this morning will happen. Just hearing that God is moving, something will jump inside your heart. So more than giving the details of 10 things to do this week, we'd hope you'd be inspired by some stories. So let me show you the question that we want you to answer here in the chat feed, whether you're on YouTube or on Facebook. And I'm going to leave this up here for a moment because I want you to be able to capture it. This is basically just what Aaron asks. How have you observed advance during this season? When I say advance, I mean everything Aaron was talking about, seeing more of what God is doing, the gospel going out, repentance, sitting at Jesus' feet, more reconciliation, whatever it is. And so I want you to consider that. You can type that in the chat feed. We're going to share what we've seen. And then at the end, Travis is going to pull out a few of the things that you guys have shared so we can mention those here on the air. So that's the question. I'm going to pull it down now. Have you seen advance? And I'm going to turn it to us here for maybe start off with Travis. Where have you seen advance during this season?
Oh, man, I think I could think a lot of different directions with this, honestly, but what has really, really floored me is your average Fort Collins industry professional is now being run ragged with, like, at home. It's a bad thing. Like, it feels bad, right? Doing Zoom calls with clients while simultaneously homeschooling, while trying to get a lasagna in the oven, like, all at the same time. It's this huge fundamental change that I think our whole culture, I mean, even especially sort of the Western culture of the world, but it's like a global thing. You know, a lot of us are really used to being completely autonomous. Like, you can do what you want, when you want, with who you want, how you want. I mean, that whole like system seems like it's just collapsed. And what we're seeing instead is people realizing like they're fragile. Human life isn't invincible. They have, you know, mortality. And so there's been a spike. Like, one of the things that I thought was interesting watching is that Google has reported that there's been a spike in their searches for prayer and for church and for God, you know, doing church online, like searches for that kind of thing. Prayer was the very first one that they referenced. That was really, really interesting. I think prayer is actually advancing. Bible apps like YouVersion, they're reporting a huge spike in downloads, and then they can track actual usage because they can watch people using their apps. And they're saying that there's a ton more people reading in their apps, which is really, really interesting. You know, 30 days ago, like before all this kind of started, there was about 8 to maybe 15% of churches in America that were reporting growth. And as of last week, it was more like 49% of churches were reporting growth. Now, doing live stream and house churches and Zoom calls, and I'm not really sure how all that like plays out necessarily with statistics, but it seems like overall pastors are reporting that people are more spiritually interested than they've been in quite a while. And I kind of think that is true, because God's revealing to us, I think, that maybe we've neglected a little bit in, like, it's really easy in a world that's kind of self-focused and you can kind of be autonomous and do whatever you want to think about your Sunday service, you know, as a Christian and go, okay, that's where I do the God thing. And then the rest of the week, you just kind of do your own thing. But now that the autonomy that you can exist within, right, in the middle of all of that, is just like that foundation is gone. And all the things that sort of have held you up as an individual, as a person with your American dream and everything else, it's like those things are kind of, the rug's getting pulled out from underneath people. And in the midst of it, there's this spiritual need, I think, that people are realizing they actually have, and they're looking for something there, right? It's fascinating. Yeah. It's really, really fascinating. There's an Alan Hirsch quote, and I'm actually going to share it here and share the screen. This is, it's really, really interesting. He said this just a couple days ago. He said, if you want to learn how to play chess, you should start by removing your own queen. Once you've mastered the game without the most powerful piece, then put the queen back in and see how good you are. So for the church, the Sunday service is our queen. We've been relying on it too much. Now that the queen has been taken off the board, it's time to rediscover what all the pieces can do. Oh, I just, man, just looking at that. I just wonder if we've had a large percentage of people sitting in our big gatherings in churches, maybe some at View, maybe other churches. And I wonder if that's just like, maybe people are doing the habitual Christian thing, or they have been. And now the question is, so who are they in their homes? Who are they when nobody's looking? What are they downloading? How is their marriages doing? How are their how are they discipling their kids? And I think Satan has, you know, tried to attack us like in our homes in that. But I think that in the midst of this, God's kind of taken, you know, like in martial arts where they take the energy of the attacker and then flip it and reverse it and use it against them. I think God's pulling like a judo move on Satan, and he's going, no, actually, let's divert that energy and let's start strengthening our households. And let's see what happens when you remove the Sunday service from Christians. Like, I think in our individual households, there's just amazing things. There's amazing opportunities for us to just grow in. So I'll get off my soapbox now because you guys need to talk too, but I've been really, really excited for some of these opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I just heard a recent poll that, and this is across the board in America, that 44% of Americans believe that coronavirus is a wake-up call for us to turn back to faith in God. That's pretty remarkable given our secular culture. And, you know, when all this began, my first instinct was, great, you know, I'm going to be able to spend all this extra time with the Lord and the Word and prayer. And oh my goodness, boy, I found out that that is not automatic. It's still a choice. And there have been all kinds of things still competing for my heart and my attention, even in this setting. I have been able to read a little bit. One book in particular is just talking about the heart of Jesus. And boy, it's been so refreshing just to see that how Jesus was the most others-oriented person who ever lived. And it's really exposed in me how I am not that way. You know, for example, it was my wife who was first considering even how we might use our recent stimulus money to benefit and bless others. I wasn't immediately thinking that way, but she was. And since then, God has given us several ideas on ways that we might use that money just to bless others.
That's awesome. Awesome. How about you, Aaron? How have you seen God on the advance during the season?
Well, I would share something personally that was similar to something that Perry just mentioned. I think at the very beginning of this, I also anticipated just being drawn into the presence of God. It was something that I feel like he wants to do in all of us, to sit at his feet like Mary did. And I thought, okay, we have a unique opportunity we may never have again, and I want to be there. And I've been trying to encourage others in that as well, to make sure we use this time just to sit at his feet. The problem is, and I think this really hit me even just a couple of days ago, I haven't been able to do it that well. And I think he's stirring even a little bit of a repentance in me right now. That's one thing that he's advancing in my heart. Because this should be a time where I would be able to just sit there and to just receive and to relate rather than do. And if I can't do it now, when can I do it? But it's been a real struggle. And even though I'm stuck at home, I still somehow fill up my day. And I still can get kind of frantic. And I just, even limited to my home, I feel like I can still run at a pretty frenetic pace. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's doing something there in me, in my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's not completed yet. I think I'm resisting, actually. But I think he's beckoning me there. I think that's how he wants to advance and in my heart and lots of people's, just to have us rest before him and get to know him a little better.
Yeah, that's good. in a moment, I'm going to hand over to Travis and he's going to pull out a few of these. Just by way of reminder, if you're watching, please answer this question in the comment feed. How have you observed advance during this season where God's at work? Totally relate with you, Aaron. I feel like I'm sensing areas that maybe were already weak in myself, but maybe they're being magnified a little bit during the season, whether my ease of getting frustrated with others or the addiction I have to wanting to get the task list done more than sit at Jesus' feet, or even separating my devotional life as if it's just reading the Bible and not the whole day of worship. I feel like God's been hitting me on that. Outside of my own life, I've been encouraged seeing God in the move, maybe in gospel opportunities, other things. For instance, I mentioned this in one of the videos. It's really encouraged by one of the college students who's been watching the Chosen series with an international student, and they've been talking about that for a couple hours each week. And it's just been really encouraging to see that God is softening hearts, even in our own church and around us. Been really cool. I've been encouraged hearing what's been going on at the distribution center at our church. Seems like God is working there. There's a lot of people who are getting food because volunteers are helping out and doing good in the name of Jesus. I was encouraged by hearing what Rochelle was doing. She's trying to get cards to people in a care facility, elderly people, and getting others to join her in that. It's just so cool to see there's new things that are happening. God's at work in fresh ways. But you guys have been seeing a lot of things, and we'd love to hear a couple of those. So Travis, anything you want to pull out here for our discussion? Anything noteworthy to share with all of us?
And every single one of these is noteworthy, and we could probably share all of them, but we'd be here all day. Man, church, you guys are amazing. There's Thaddeus. He's saying it's reminded him of the value of spending time with people. Oh man, I can resonate with that. Love for people around us. Greater connection with neighbors. That's Lee and Maggie Vary, from a social distance, of course. Yeah. right. An increased stillness before God. Nathan Ryder says his time spent in the Word has doubled. There's a few others that are saying similar things. More intentional with family time. Steve Parker talks about that, which has been bearing fruit in relationships with our kids. Man, I've been hearing some of that with people. That's really, really cool. Michael, just in his personal walk, morning quiet times with God are consistent. Praying for others to seek God during this time. Lee's relationship with God has become more deep and personal. Man, that's really cool. More just relationships with kids. Sam Lowe invited a coworker to church Easter live stream. Over on our Facebook feed, Angie was saying something similar. Emma's school friends joined them for their Easter service, and she's been inviting them to come to church with her for months. That is so cool. Awesome. That's awesome. Shannon over on Facebook, she says her heart has grown more content in this season, and eagerness to be praying for our world has developed. Also seen a richness and deeper fellowship with her husband, their roommate. That is really cool. Ryan, feeling of peace, knowing God is in complete control, knowing and living this more today than ever before. And also he says, thanks for sharing that last little bit, Aaron. He feels very similar, and he's been consciously working and praying on it. Leah Rolfe and their family, they discovered The Chosen. They've been watching it with their kids and talking about it. Angie says this time has been giving her a clearer picture of an eager anticipation of one day seeing Jesus face to face. That's definitely been doing that for me. That's been really, really cool. Sam has been working at home. He says, as a dad, I've been able to be part of, or at least at the very least observe, his household's daily happenings. And man, there's so much with family. Hope is saying she's learned patience with her family, how to voice her frustrations in a respectful way, diffusing arguments before they start. Oh man, pointing out just the cool things around our community. Family spending quality time together, seeing it in the neighborhood and park. Sydney says stores allowing special time for seniors, the disabled, the immune challenged neighbors. That it's really cool. That's pretty awesome. Josiah's grown closer with his family. Chase talking about English Corner, online English Corner, being able to still do that and connect with people around the world, English learners around the world. Lee Vary, same thing. That is really, really cool. Amber Constant has been forced to remember her worth comes from God and not in what she accomplishes or what she's succeeding in or that thing she's being able to create. connecting with spouses, the Serve 6-8 thing that John, you referenced that one. That's really, really cool. Joy from comes from God, communicating with family, practicing a kind word instead of harshness. Oh, that is really, really, really cool. Many saints have been blessed. Rachel Dozier calls out the Dollar family, especially for blessing. Oh, that's true.
Awesome.
That's true. Ryan Bloom, deliberate, regular, weekly video calls with families scattered across Colorado, and it's brought them closer.
Sweet.
Friend from Italy watching this. That's really, really cool. There's just, it's just so great. You know, like I said, I think there's just so much opportunity. Scott Samuelson, he's a doctor. Scott, thanks for all you're doing. He says the Lord has continued to protect himself, his staff, and his patients from the virus. That is so amazing, man. Okay. Well, we could probably just keep going, but why don't we just stop there? That's so cool. So just, you know, as we come to a close here, guys, I just wanted us to remember, you know, I'll pin my face here. There we go. We have technology and we can do these fun things. There's a reality, like in the midst of all of this, as we're experiencing this, there's going to come a time when it's over. Anytime I think the whole world experiences something this dramatic, there's going to be things that change. It's not going to be the same as it was before, but there will be a point where the darkness of this virus lifts and we will be able to come back together. And it's like that darkness is going to lift and the dawn is going to break and the pandemic is going to be over and we're all going to come back together. And I think my prayer and all of our prayers as pastors is that Summit View Church, we come back stronger.
Yeah.
Like we gather together back in that room, that big room that's been sitting empty now for so long. And we come back stronger. We come back more in love with Jesus, that we realize, you know, like that Alan Hirsch quote, let's for a time play chess without the queen and learn the strengths of all the other pieces. Let's learn the strengths of what it's like in our families, in our households, in our workplaces, what it's like to just sit with God when we're lonely, what it's like to reach out to neighbors and just be with our neighbors in the park, and what it's like to start sharing Jesus in those contexts. Man, that's our prayer, that we come back stronger and all of those pieces come back together and we start playing with the queen again. And the church starts winning and God starts winning in our neighborhoods and in our culture, in our city. And so maybe before all of this, you were in a place with your family where maybe you weren't taking your faith all that seriously, but now you're finding that you're praying with your kids and you're praying with your wife. And, you know, like Hope Everhart said, you're developing skills that allow you to diffuse conflict before it ever even starts, and you're loving more and you're more gentle in your speech. And maybe it's that you live by yourself or you're by yourself a lot in the middle of this. And rather than seeing that as a bad thing or just like a bunch of loneliness, you see it as an invitation to dwelling with God and sitting at his feet and praying and getting deeply into his heart. And we all come back together with a greater heart for the world. I even think about these people who have been invited to jump into our live stream and the connections we have with some of those people. Like there's an opportunity for them to actually join us in person on that first Sunday back. And we don't know what all this is going to look like or how long it's going to go, but God is up to something. I think God is on the move and we don't want to lose sight of that. So we appreciate so much all you guys' comments. I'm going to get back on there and just keep reading them. But let me pin the video on Aaron here, because you can't have a good Zoom meeting without a bunch of announcements. So Aaron, you want to share a few things with us here?
Yeah, let me take you through a couple announcements. And I think Travis has one as well. So the first one is related to missions. Now, for many years now, about this time of the year, we have an annual missions campaign. And our goal there is to raise some money to help support missionaries that we're closely connected with, most of whom have come out of our church and are out serving somewhere on the frontier of the gospel. This year, of course, we were wrestling with, should we change that or should we do things differently? Or, you know, what should we do given our current situation and all the uncertainty? Well, we would like to continue to have a missions campaign this year, knowing that a lot of those missionaries out there are also wrestling with how they're going to keep doing what they're doing, and that a lot of financial uncertainty has been introduced into their lives as well. And so we would like to continue to support them as well as we can. So this Sunday actually kicks off our missions campaign. We're going to do this for the next three Sundays, where we're going to invite you to partner with us so that we can partner with some of these missionaries. I'm not going to list all the different situations that we're going to be connected to right now, but you can go to someofyou.com/missions and see that, and you can even sign up to give a one-time or a recurring donation. And we're going to be putting out via social media, our website, and on the next couple of Sundays, we're going to introduce you to these people that we're connected with, and so you can get to know them. But we're just inviting you to partner with us. Again, it's going to be smaller scale this year. We thought it'd be good to be a little more conservative, so we're not trying to raise nearly as much as we have in the past, but still hopefully enough to support some of these people out there on the gospel frontier. So just check out someofyou.com/missions. Look for those videos that come out via social media over the next couple weeks. The next announcement is about Secret Church and the Sunday morning teaching series that will follow this. A lot of you have heard of Secret Church. We have participated in it for actually several years now, usually on a Friday night. Secret Church is something that Pastor David Platt started many years ago. And the idea behind it was to have a long extended church service where we, as American Christians, we kind of walked in some patterns that the persecuted church walks in. And so for many years now, people from all over the country have been tuning into this simulcast and going through some teachings and some different content, and really just uniting in prayer and fasting and solidarity with the persecuted church. There's a different topic each year that Secret Church goes through. This year, it's government. So it's titled God, Government, and the Gospel. And we just wanted to invite you to check this out. It's on Friday. The simulcast will be on this coming Friday, starting at 5 p.m. It actually goes for about 6 hours. So you can keep it running. You can have your computer open. And just check out some of what is going to be presented there. But we think that could be a really instructive time. But that also kicks off something that we're doing here in Some of You as well on Sunday mornings. For a while now, we've been planning to have a teaching series that focused on government and politics, knowing that this could be a pretty rough year, a volatile year. We already know that. It's an election year. And there is all kinds of opportunity for resentment and disunity and fear and all of those kinds of things. And we thought it would be really important here, 6 months before the election, to talk through some of those things and try to understand God's view of government, how he wants to lead us in faith as we approach political issues. So we're going to take the next 4 Sundays and do that starting this coming Sunday. And I am just trusting that as we discuss these things, it's going to prepare us, and we're going to be equipped with that kind of faith to navigate through what could be a really difficult political season. So that's that. And Travis, I think you had one more thing to mention.
Travis muted.
Of course, my microphone's muted. I'm using an RTMP server on my MacBook over here to route our Zoom call into live stream over to Facebook and YouTube, and I can't manage to unmute my own microphone. So I think my brain's full. Anyway, let me just show you guys this image. This is this is what we're doing. And I realize my head over here is kind of obscuring some of the screen, but we've been working with Serve 6-8 And John mentioned that earlier, we've got the distribution center and we've been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks now, but Paul Ackerman has been doing a great job heading it up. We've got some really great volunteers, but something significant is happening this week. We've had 36,000 pounds of frozen chicken that's donated. It's coming in actually tomorrow. And so on Tuesday, there's going to be this mass distribution across Fort Collins and Greeley and Loveland. And we're trying to put together chicken dinner boxes. And so there's this distribution day for people who are, you know, they need protein, they need help. And we're going to distribute those out of our church. So that's Tuesday. But if you want to help donate, we still need some items for these boxes. So we've got the chicken, but we're hoping to have some gravy, some canned corn, green beans, dinner rolls, individually packaged desserts. So if you want to donate, check out that email address at the bottom, paul.ackerman0316@gmail.com. That's Paul Ackerman. He's heading up this project for us. And you can help donate there, and we can store some of the stuff at church. And some of this can play out for the next couple of weeks as well, not just on Tuesday. But we might actually also need a couple extra hands on Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon. And if you're able to help, go ahead and call Paul Ackerman. Don't just show up, because we're still trying to maintain the no more than 10 in a space and the social distancing. So we can't have a whole bunch of people, but we might need a couple extra hands. And so if you're available on Tuesday morning, you'd love to help, and you're healthy, go ahead and get in touch with Paul, and we can go from there. I'm going to unpin my video and go back to all of us now. There we are. All right. Okay. So also, we're going to still do our house churches after this, and we appreciate you guys bearing with us. You get four pastors on a screen, and of course we go long. I told the guys, you know, add 10 minutes for each of us, and you know, it's 40 additional minutes for our sermon, or whatever you want to call this interaction that we're having this morning. But we're just so glad that you guys all have joined us on this Zoom call. If you go to summitview.com/livestream, there are three discussion questions on that page for our house churches. And so just some things that we could talk about as house churches right after this, as we sign off and you get on your Zoom calls. The first one is, what has been a source of disappointment for you during this time? The second one is, what example of opportunity or conviction that was shared today inspired you? And you might want to pull up the Facebook or YouTube comments and look and see what other people have said. Those are going to be there. They'll still be there. In light of God's pattern of advancing his purposes through constraining situations, how might God be specifically leading you to love him or to love others right now? So those are our discussion questions, summitview.com/livestream. They are there. And Aaron Ritter, I was wondering if you would be willing to close us in prayer before we sign off.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
Great. Oh, God, we remember your presence. And it's not just that your presence, you're just observing things from a distance, but you're active. God, we want to know that. And know it well, deep down in our core, that you're doing something. You're not uninvolved. You're not disinterested. But you are actively bringing about good right now, even through difficult, constraining circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, I pray that we would just know that. I pray that even as we discuss these things in our house churches, you would impress that deep down into our hearts, that you're active. And so, God, as we go through our day today, the rest of our day, and into our week, I pray that you would just bubble up those lessons that you want us to really grab onto and let us walk in them. God, we want to really understand, mm-hmm. like Paul did, how you're advancing in our lives, in our hearts, and then to walk in those things, to align ourselves with what you're doing. So help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you all for joining us.